Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Kangwajan, Thailand, January 2016. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Nina, John, Sarah, Alberto, Sundra, Sukin, Anne, Glenn, and Vietnamese friends.
I just talked to Ajahn about that all the people here that we are familiar with as only what appears through eyes. But I said that I feel a bit unnatural when I would repeat this sentence, because I feel there is thinking too about people seeing, and then it seems straight away the thinking, and it seems that we forget about seeing, that there is no seeing. It's been straight away thinking of people. And Ajahn said, well, you have to come again. And it is true. Because we have to listen more. It's the only thing we can do, because Panya is still weak. I know it's weak, but listening is really the only, and considering is the only thing that can be done.
And weak is better than none.
Weak is better than none.
Yeah.
It's true.
And or wrong understanding.
See? Or wrong, yeah. And then to realize that it's still weak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But is it not natural to say, all these people here, only what appears through eyes, and I feel myself, from my own feeling, it feels a bit unnatural. But I just repeat what I heard on the radio in Thai.
Repeating means you are thinking about it little by little. Yeah. Not forgetting it.
But what I was going to say also is if one is just repeating it, it's not one's own understanding,
no.
It's better to consider
and say
in one's own words. Otherwise, if one's just repeating
it's
without it really being understood, it's not so helpful. So I think it's not a matter of how often one comes or how long one listens, but it's the deep and careful consideration rather than just repeating it.
That's right.
You just repeating, or there is also some understanding of it from learning, hearing before, see? But it develops by itself. It's not just you want to have it develop as much as you like.
Yeah, I think the deep consideration is good, for sure, but the just repeating means that there are conditions that it's there and one is thinking about it, and it may or may not lead to deep consideration, but just repeating seems to me better than forgetting completely, because at least there are conditions for some thinking, although it may not be at the careful consideration level.
It depends if there's any consideration of whether it's true. Like now, isn't it true that there is just that which is seen? Actually, no people at all that are seen at all, just that which is seen. Isn't it true?
Because we learn from the Abhidhamma the different moments and the different processes, and then the seeing process, and then afterwards thinking about it, and it's all true. Yeah, but to realize it, in theory, we understand, you know.
But if we forget about Abhidhamma and processes now, right at this very moment, what is seen, just that which is seen, actually at this very moment.
Yeah.
No people are seen, just that which is visible, just that which is seen at this moment.
That is the difficult thing, you know. Yeah.
But isn't it true at this moment? Like, isn't it true at this moment? Only sound heard.
Yeah.
Just that. And then thinking about wind and trees. But isn't it true that only sound is heard now? Only that which is visible is seen now?
That which is visible is seen now is really the most difficult thing. Because I can't repeat it, but it's only theory.
I think it's difficult because instantly there's
thinking
about it and doubt and wondering or trying to work it out or complicating. But actually, nothing else can be seen at this moment, no. Just that which is seen.
It's true. It cannot impinge on the eye sense. The people cannot impinge on eye sense. That is true.
If there's no thinking about people, and so no people there. It's only when they're thinking, otherwise
but
no
I problem. Usually think.
Why not?
We all do. but not thinking about people all the time.
Thinking about different things.
About trees and everything.
Visible
and the landscape.
It indicates that how far apart the Pariyatti and Patipatti is. And we think it's quite close, but actually it's not at all.
No.
Quite far apart. And each one is like that. Each word, like all dharmas are anatta. See, we just say all, but it's not all. Trees and people and things.
I'm sorry, John, what do you mean? I think you said all dharmas are anatta.
Yes,
but actually
isn't there anatta here?
Yes.
Or you take it for table, and Sarah and I, is that anatta?
No, it's not when there's not direct awareness
so when
of
we
it.
Say,
however,
But when we say all dhammas are anatta, it's right.
Yes.
But it's not right at moment of seeing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand what you said
Absolutely.
There. It's correct, but it's not now.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How far apart, Pariyatti and Patipatti. And this can answer to all questions about time and how long, and you still see trees and people. Yeah.
What is to be understood is what appears.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. And what appears cannot be understood by thinking what it's like, right?
And that's the words of the Buddha. But what about our words? See?
That's the point.
Yeah, we just follow. We know everything, but it's not like it is yet.
That's what I mean about just repeating. If we just repeat, but it's not understanding of what appears now, then it's
also very little at a time, unknown all the time. It works its way, very subtle. So just hear, consider, understanding, depending on anatta-ness, whether it's thinking about it, it's there already.
It's there already.
Yeah,
that's
mm-hmm.
a good point.
Might be helpful to consider that without the thinking.
Helpful again, for who? For who? When you
just
think about helpful, it's something that is motivated by desire and attachment. Unknowingly, lopa is there until panya can see it. So you don't have to think about helpful because it's the eye who try very much to find what is helpful.
I think sometimes, otherwise you cannot say anything at all.
No, I mean that when there is the understanding of the anatta-ness, it will erase or it will decrease the idea of helpful.
Because when there's that
idea of, oh, this would be helpful, and an idea that I'll think or repeat something, then it is an idea. There is an idea of doing something at that moment, repeating the words one has heard, or considering this way, or thinking in a particular way, is not understanding Dharma at this moment.
Actually, I didn't mean to say that repeating is helpful. What I wanted to say is like, for me to consider that without thinking, there cannot be the ideas of people or things.
What about without thinking, or is thinking helpful?
No, it's not. because when we say that people and things appear through the eyes, it don't sound right. But if we say that without the thinking, there cannot be ideas of people and things, that was just what I wanted to say.
We don't think about whether that is helpful, but the truth is there.
Yes.
I think it's a subtle point,
Because people just follow instantly when it's helpful where, see, they are trying to have it.
Like sometimes people may hear about visible object and then there's an idea of thinking about visible object or anyway, it can be quite subtle, the
idea of, oh, this is helpful to think about or something to reflect on.
They just follow whatever one says.
Alberto and I were having a discussion this morning about karma and patisandhi, and I think Alberto would like to discuss it a bit more.
So we had a conversation about patisandhi and lifespan. My view was that at the moment of patisandhi, the lifespan is already decided by the ayuhana of the karma which produced patisandhi. But could it be that during life one can prolong or karma done during one's lifetime can change the lifespan of someone?
Can we say that by conditions?
Yeah.
Like Buddha can extend if Ananda asks himself on, say, but must be by conditions. Just leave it to conditions, because there are also other karma too. The present one might prolong the previous one. It depends. That's why only Buddha knew about karmas.
And I think we discussed those, I think, behind Alberto's question, it was, there is an idea that because the patisandhi is conditioned by past karma and chuti-chitta by the same karma, that it must be like determined. And we were talking about other support conditions, even paptupanisiyapachya or other conditions that interrelate, and as you say, other karmas that can have their effects. So many different factors, many different conditions, but actually even in the Buddha's case, not anyone who can do anything, just different conditions that will determine or affect when it's time for chuti-chitta to arise. We can't say at birth that it's already determined, because so many other conditions that have their influence during life.
Can we say usually?
And I was also going to ask you about the function of cetana at patisandhi time, which is ayuhana. Ayuhana.
What's the meaning of ayuhana?
I wasn't going
I
to ask you.
I thought that it also collects all karmas that can produce result in that lifespan. Because there's not only the karma of the patisandhi citta, it also collected the other karmas which can produce result in between lifespan.
And that's the meaning of ayuhana, the accumulation of karma. That's what it refers to, isn't it?
I think I've never understood this properly. The ayuhana, the accumulation of the karmas that can produce results in this lifetime. Are there other karmas that will not produce results in this lifetime?
Does this lifetime already produce result of it? Or can the other karma produce also whatever happens in this lifetime, like seeing this or that, or become blind, not from birth, and so forth? Illness, conditioned by karma?
Well, that's what I'm not clear about at all, is...
For example, to be born human being is the result of kusala, right?
Yes.
So there should be the kusala vipaka.
Yes.
In all lifespan, but it doesn't like that. Sometimes
right.
One gets ill.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I understand that.
From what kind of karma? Not the karma of the birth, consciousness.
No, other karma.
Yeah.
So is all other karma in the ayuhana?
Only. Okay.
I was going to say all karma ever performed in eons and eons
yes.
of lives has all been accumulated, but one cannot say that all karma that has been accumulated in the past is going to
materialize
in
this life.
In this
right.
life. How impossible. Yeah.
For example, next rebirth may be in the hell plane,
yes.
not because of an act done in this lifetime, but
right.
previous life.
Yes.
Yeah, just as an example, or heavenly plane.
One knows that only one karma conditions this rebirth consciousness
yes.
in this life,
yes.
but it also collects the other karmas, which only can produce result in this life, like being born a dog. See, it can have just that which can be their happiness in such life, not like human beings. See, but if one were born as human being, they kill what karma which can produce according to the Patisandakamma. If the Patisandakamma is only accompanied by indifference feeling, it's different from that which is conditioned by Somanasa.
Mm.
So it collects that which can produce result in such, which is the result of that karma only.
Okay. What, my question may be weird because I may be thinking about this strangely, but the ayuhana, is that the word? Collects, is the accumulated karma that will produce results in this
which
life.
Can be which, able,
oh,
which can
be
able.
Which can be able. Can produce results in this lifetime.
If conditions are right.
If conditions are right. What about karma that will not produce results in this lifetime?
Wait. It's waiting.
But where does it wait? Is it in the ayuhana citta?
I mean the citta has accumulated all karmas, different kinds
yes.
of karmas, and for this particular life, that which is suitable to be able to produce
mm-hmm.
result only, while the others can be for next life or the life after next.
So they would not be part of the ayuhana?
No, that's
life.
Why there is the word ayuhana.
Ayuhana.
Only those which can produce result in this life.
And the others are carried
yeah.
or...
Yeah.
Never lost.
Yeah.
Never lost.
Yeah.
That, okay, that's what I thought. So it is selective to this life.
You were
then.
Born in this life. You cannot have the prop, like Devas
whole. Right.
Yeah, see? But it's there.
Right.
To produce result later.
In another
we
life.
We don't know, yeah.
In another
when?
Life. So it really is specific to this life.
Right.
That can, not but, necessarily will, but that can produce
right,
results
right.
in this lifetime. Okay, thank you.
So actually, when we,
if we say the Patisandhi of this life has collected all the karma that can bring results in this lifetime, but actually it has all past karma has been collected in that Patisandhi.
Never lost.
But that the nature of that Patisandhi is such that only certain karmas can bring result in this life.
And that's the
right.
Okay, so it's all collected in the
all every because
yes.
all karmas collected and accumulated in every single citta, but the nature of that Patisandhi is that many of those karmas cannot bring results in that lifetime.
Okay, thank you. That clarifies it.
And doesn't that also relate to kala sampatti? You know the
also.
Yeah, that's right.
Also.
So it has to be the right time for it to bring fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just you, like, yeah, mangoes don't
right.
spring
right.
up now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kala sampatti, that will depend on the other
conditions that we were
mentioning. When you said usually in relation
to the chuti chitta at a certain time, but other karmas, other conditions can have a fact, what did you mean by
like Buddha? Ananda asked him to prolong his life, and he said that if you said that, then I could have itipada.
But why did you say usually?
Because it's not
that
every
is
day.
Unusual.
Yeah.
So the karma that produced the Patisandhi citta, does it like to some extent determine the length or the lifespan in this lifetime?
Mm-hmm. It's in because some karma is then very short and some very long.
Okay, but then any other new karma that are produced in that life can come in and then either just cut short that lifespan. Like
that's
in
why
the
there is not only Chanaka karma, there is also Upatamba karma, Upa.
Mm-hmm.
Balika karma
mm-hmm.
and but
And right. Not just in the lifetime, but from previous lifetimes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Seeing the subject has been brought up, I've often seen ajahn that related to the different jhāvana processes, like the first jhāvana, if the results don't bring result, if
in this life,
and then the next five relate to any time in samsara.
After next life.
And the last one relates to next life. Mm-hmm. Sort of similar things.
Next life. Depending on the strength of those
cheetahs, that karma, because the first one is weak. And
what for? To understand this. To understand the anattaness, just to develop more and more certainty about no self at all. Otherwise, only Dhamma is not enough. But not to cling or try to find out, but to understand that who can know and who cannot know, but Dhammas are anatta.
Much of this can potentially relate to vañcika, this nature of...
That's why if one still follow it, it means that there is attachment to know it, not to see the anatta-ness of this moment.
And also by understanding about the different conditions, and one realizes impossible for anyone to extend life or to do anything or to determine jhuti citta or anything, because one just understands there are these various different conditions, different kinds of karma in particular, that bring their results.
And other anything conditions can be object of attachment anytime.
We were also talking a bit about
the role of Paktu Pranisya Pachya, lets we know it also is a support condition for each moment of vipaka, for each citta, like even seeing now or hearing now. And also, can we mention it, refer to it as also support condition for jhuti citta?
To me, I think that only know that everything supports.
That's
all right. I don't try to pinpoint what citta. For time, whether it is vipaka support this or kriya citta support that.
Just enough to know many
other conditions involved, and conditions like this one
because
influencing each moment.
Because ignorance is there with attachment already.
Yes, in the same light about Pakatu Upanisaya Pachaya, in the book on conditions, they talk about two meanings of Pakatu. One is like accumulations, like thoroughly, done thoroughly, and it's explained that like some akusala or kusala that have been done can be conditioned to the arising of akusala and akusala in the future. And it also talk about the pakatu as the meaning of natural nature. And this the second one, I think for me it's very hard to understand, because some explanations are given, like we can go to India to pay respect to the Buddha, like holy places, and then there can be the experiences of being bitten by mosquitoes, and you know, many discomfort. So these moments of vipaka are the result of bad karma, akusala karma, but by way of pakatu upanisaya, they are the result of kusala karma. So I think it's a very difficult to understand. So can you please explain more about
this? To me, I think that whatever arises can be pakatu upanisaya. That's all. Even right now, see, the cold weather or whatever, we have to find out whether it conditions the vipaka or the kriya citta or what, in what way. See, And those who listen to the Pakatupanisyapatya and have desire or attachment to understand this and that, and the person who hear and understand, the even one patya is better. For example, right now, everyone knows about Aramana Patya, but people and things. Is that the Aramana of the Chakkhuvijnana? See, we learn a lot about seeing that it has to experience only the visible object. But when time comes, where is such understanding? But the development of understanding can see the value of listening in order to understand that there is no self. And when time comes, the understanding can grow to understand whatever is there that one has heard before. Not just when one cannot understand it, does not have understanding of reality right now, and try to have those understanding about Pajya and so on. Because you see that the most important thing is, no matter what is heard, is for the development of understanding of whatever appears now, rather than just thinking, finding more about what is what.
That's like the same way, even visible object is not known now, but we can talk about Aramana Paccaya,
yes,
theoretically.
What for? Just to understand, to make it developed, until there can be the understanding of visible object. The beginning of understanding is not clear, because long, long time ago is the object of the idea of self all the time. But from hearing, that is only that which is seen. And when time comes, this getting stronger and stronger until it's not important, because it's only seen. That's all. We have to come to this point little by little to see the useless of thinking in terms of what is there, or I know that it is Saramana Paccaya or something like that. It's not the words, but the understanding of that which has to be there. It has to be. At moment of seeing, this has to be here and there.
At the same time, I think when we understand even theoretically about the conditions, it helps to understand more about anattaness, right?
Yeah, we think, but it takes time. Quite a long, long time.
And the question is, what does it mean to understand theoretically about conditions? I was discussing this with some friends in our bungalow, because studying or understanding theoretically doesn't mean knowing the names and knowing the book details. Knowing theoretically means understanding at this moment what is seen, knowing the aramana now as being experienced right now, or knowing lobha now. Lobha is hetu upachya, but understanding lobha that arises at this moment. Otherwise, it's not theoretical knowledge, it's just book study knowledge.
Yes. Just to add a little,
I find it very helpful that you stress all the time that attachment and ignorance arising and wanting to know, it's very helpful to be reminded of that.
Sir, understanding theoretically is clearly not just understanding what's in the book, but knowing now, understanding now, there is an object, condition, etc. But you're not, I'm taking it that you're not talking about direct understanding yet. You're talking about knowing theoretically what is taking place, is the wrong word, but what is appearing now. And I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm seeing you, I'm seeing Ajahn, and there's an understanding that in order for me to be thinking that you and Ajahn are sitting there, there is visible object, and that shape and form, you know, the nimitta, visible object, leads, and sanya, and a lot of conditions lead to thinking you are there. I'm assuming, is knowing theoretically what is happening now, and attachment and various other things, but without direct understanding of these as realities. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes I think we forget that what is understood by Pariyatti, it's the same realities that have to be understood by Patipati, but directly. And so we hear about visible object, and the understanding has to get closer and closer to directly understand the reality. So it's not that Pariyatti is one thing, like some details in the book, and that Patipati is something different, the realities. So the Pariyatti is pointing to what is directly known by the Patipati. So what is seen now, just that which is visible, has to be very clearly and firmly understood in order for the deeper understanding to directly understand exactly the same reality.
Putting it that way is helpful. So Pariyatti understands what Patipati needs to know.
Directly.
Okay.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Otherwise it seems that
Pariyatti is one lot of details or theory, and then Patipati is directly understanding reality, but it's exactly the same realities that are known. It's just that the understanding has to develop deeper and deeper to directly know those realities, and it can only deeply know them when that the Pariyatti understanding is very firm and clear, no doubt that it's just that which is visible, which is seen now.
So an example, Sarah, maybe would be like seeing now, there's thinking about seeing now with understanding, but if we start to think, oh, seeing arises with sannyas, seeing arises with vedana, that's theory. That's not understanding.
Because it's very easy to, one minute there can be considering about seeing, and then next there can be thinking about the story of seeing. Like there was an example yesterday when someone mentioned, oh, when I think of a zeta and I think of the utu conditioning, this or that. But that's the story of Utu, the story of dharmas. It's not the understanding of what appears right now. So the direct understanding just understands what is considered wisely about what appears at this moment, not the story of dharmas.
Also, no matter the subject, which reality is we are talking about, and we talk about it just to condition, like Ayuhana, as Ajahn said, is just to point out the anathanas of any reality we are talking about. And which it's helps, it's needed to the next stage, which is Patipati. Without it, cannot be any Patipati without hearing.
Because we have to
hear about dharmas in different ways or aspects to really, for the understanding to really be firm that, like in this life, there really is just vipaka, kusala, kusala, karma, no matter now, no matter just before death, no matter at death, just different dharmas, different rounds, conditioned at each moment. And there's bound to be ideas of like, oh, controlling this or deciding on death or doing this to help, if there isn't really clear understanding that actually each dharma arises now because of different conditions. And so someone may wonder, well, what are the conditions for hearing now or seeing? So then one hears about karma or ayuhana and other factors to realize that actually it cannot be determined by anything except conditions at this very moment.
Even talking about samatha bhavana jhanas or lokuttara dhammas, there's still a condition for anatta, to realize their anattaness, no matter what dhamma.
Otherwise someone, like, they may have the idea that, or if they go somewhere quiet, or they focus on the virtues of the Buddha, or reflect on metta or death, then this is the way that samatha bhavana will develop. They don't understand that each dharma, each citta, each moment of wise reflection is conditioned through considering and understanding. So every moment is anatta, not anyone who can ever do anything. But because the tendency is so deeply rooted, one has to hear and consider a lot. Otherwise, one might think, oh yes, well, in the development of Satipatthana, I know dharmas are all conditioned, but in samatha, one has to do something. This is common idea, not understanding every citta is conditioned, whether one's ever heard the Buddha's teachings or not.
The words for this to realize this anattaness, without the right words, it's impossible.
Like we were saying this morning, even if one's reading the Patana in Pali, easy to come to a wrong conclusion because the misunderstandings and wrong views are so very deeply rooted. Like someone may think they can influence the ayuhana or the karma or something like this, because one would always like to put self in, not really understanding firmly about dharmas now as conditioned.
So hearing the right words doesn't just mean hearing the Buddha's Dhamma, but it means hearing it explained in a way that's appropriate for our level of understanding and our circumstances at that moment, which is why hearing the Dhamma is different from listening to the Dhamma when we talk about the conditions for development of understanding.
It includes, it means hearing with understanding.
So at this moment you are hearing the Buddha's Dhamma, and we could say that it be the result of good karma, right? To be able to hear about the truth. But at this moment also there is experiencing of coldness, which should be like unpleasant bodily feeling. That would be the result of bad karma. But without the good karma that produce our being here, there would not be this moment of experiencing coldness. So in that case, is it considered to be the pakatu upanisaya pachaya, like the support for that?
Sorry, is what considered to be pakatu upanisaya pachaya for what?
The kusala karma which produce us being here and listen to the teaching at this moment would be also the support conditions for the akusala karma to give result, to produce result, which is the experience of coldness at this moment. Just no, because it's, I just make a parallel with the example that I found in the book.
To me, I think that everything is pakatu upanisaya pachaya, because reality is now, and understanding the characteristic of reality as not self come from understanding the pachaya, no matter more or less. When it can be conditioned to understand reality, it comes from hearing and understanding enough, not just be the scholar who only talk about it, pachaya and pachyupana of each one, and not understanding reality, because that's not the point. And now, at moment of understanding it, no idea about any pachaya, particularly the names at all, only the characteristic which is there, as not self.
And what one can say is the moments of experiencing cold, the painful bodily feeling, those moments of akusala karma for sure, and that akusala karma has to be supported by pakatu upanisaya pachaya and other conditions to bring that result at that moment. So in that way is the meaning of natural
would be the meaning of the natural, right? Not the meaning of thoroughly done. Apakatu. Because it means natural, maybe it means it's not. It meets many conditions for something to arise.
So it naturally has its effect. Naturally, it supports that karma to bring its result at that moment. Hearing pleasant sounds, the result of kusala karma, supported by other conditions such as that, and then moments of painful bodily feeling, result of akusala karma, supported by its conditions. Each one, each moment, conditioned by paktupanisyapachya.
Ajahn, what is hearing the Dhamma? Because Tam just said hearing the Dhamma is a result of good karma, and I...
So what is Dhamma?
Dhamma here means the teachings about the reality.
So what is hearing Dhamma?
Hearing Dhamma. Hearing hears sound.
Hearing whatever appears now.
It's about just sound.
Only sound? What about ear?
Ear?
See? Because
the ear is also a result of karma.
Right. But are we thinking just about the words or understanding whatever appears? This is different.
We can't even say at that at this moment
whether which moment is result of kusala karma or akusala karma, whether the sound is pleasant or unpleasant at different moments.
But
so
yes, but it would be either pleasant or unpleasant. If it's
so
unpleasant,
that's a result. That's a result of karma. But actually, when we talk in the text about hearing the teachings, it's referring to kusala chittas.
Right. So yeah, that's what I was wondering about. Yeah.
Only the hearing of sound.
Hearing of sound is the result of karma.
The other day, I think John mentioned about the worldly conditions that's being a result of karma. So can you say more about that in relation to this?
If we don't talk about each moment of citta, but when we talk about each moment, we have to know what vara, procession, and everything.
Because we do find that sutta, when they talk about certain situations, and the Buddha explained that it is the result of good
yes,
karma,
because
right?
He taught only that, much more than that. Mm-hmm. But when it's about that, he can say just about that. Because you see that at moment of gain, just one word gain, what is it? From which doorway? And whether it is the result of what and what karma, when so on, he keeps on going to more details. But just one word, and when there is the understanding, it can bring more and more about understanding what is there. Like now, see, that is seeing. Without understanding, seeing is that which is of self. It's conditioned. See, it brings more about the karma pajya and the other pajya, aramana pajya, and so on. So I think that this is the best way to study about pajya, not just the word. Because you see that when we think about the word, we cannot find out whether this moment is conditioned by how many karmas. For example, the citta conditioned the rupa at moment of patisanti, and after that, and by what pajya, see? But when there is the understanding right now, it begins to see no self at all. And when there's no self, what appears, what arises, must be conditioned. So we learn by understanding that without visible object, without that which is seen, can they be seen? To know exactly that not in anyone's control at all. Just learn to understand whatever appears is conditioned. And it conditions the other pajyupanna too. See, and we can learn to understand better, like eye base. Without eye base, there cannot be seeing. at all. So what is the difference between the eye base and the visible object? They're different realities, so they have different conditions to condition seeing. See, this is to have less and less attachment and learn to understand what is there in words and in books about this moment. Otherwise, without understanding realities at any moment, we just learn about the words and book study.
Like being born rich, and we read being rich is a result of kusala karma, but one has to consider what is meant. So actually, pleasant bodily feeling, pleasant bodily experience is a result of kusala karma, or tasting pleasant objects as a result of kusala karma. So one just has to understand what the word rich is shorthand for when one hears that it's a result of karma or gain. So it's just a pleasant experiences.
What about
through sense doors?
What about being born into a rich family but paralyzed and blind and deaf?
So results of different karma, so moments of pleasant bodily feeling and moments of unpleasant, painful bodily feeling. Actually, it's about now, like even now, even as we're sitting here, pleasant bodily feeling and then a little later painful bodily feeling, pleasant, unpleasant sounds, pleasant, unpleasant. It's just like now, results of different karmas at different moments. No situations at all.
Yeah, actually, I think the more we talk in details about karma and vipaka, the more I understand better what the Buddha said, that it's a subject that if one think about, one try to think about, it can lead to madness. Right.
Like if you try to think about what was the cause of pleasant bodily feeling now, or painful bodily feeling, and was it because of studying Dharma, then it leads to madness. Enough just to know that when it's painful bodily feeling, it's a result of akusala karma and other support conditions. I don't think anyone had a question about it, but yesterday evening we were talking about Chunda, who gave the last meal to the Buddha, and after the Buddha ate the meal, as we all know, he was very sick and then passed into Parinibbana not long afterwards. And he encouraged Chunda not to have any remorse or feel responsible, and actually talked about how it was very high kusala karma to give the last meal to the Buddha before Parinibbana. And we were discussing how one might feel so sorry at this instance, but actually it should be like a joyful occasion. Do you have any comments? Or do you have any comments? Anything else to add, Sandra?
To me, I think that when we are talking about conditions, it should be this moment. See, coldness through body sense, with our conditions, how can there be the feeling cold?
Well, just to add to that, Sarah, it reminded me that often I was inclined to think negatively about that incident, but that act of giving was a support condition for Parinibbana, which is a joyful occasion. You know, you mentioned that this morning too, that we don't normally think of an arahant when they die as being something to rejoice in. And I thought that, yeah, that is, it is something to rejoice in when arahata passes into Parinibbana, or even more glorious when the Sammā Sambuddha passed into Parinibbana. We might think that's a sad thing, but it's a wonderful thing.
And I guess also the other Aryans, because they're getting closer to Parinibbana, right?
What is true for all and every moment or situation.
To your point before that, yes, thinking about karma in certain ways can not be helpful, but you mentioned that if you think about it in the right way, it can be helpful. So it's dependent upon how you think about it.
Helpful or useful?
Helpful or useful? When you said that, Ajahn, I think that useful. What is that? Because it's not clear to me.
The understanding of the teaching will eliminate attachment.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have another question. When we were in Vietnam and talking about karma, and I remember you said something in the light of, for example, the moments of even if the akusala conditions movements through body and mind, through body and speech, but if it's not like the five precepts, it doesn't produce result, like eating cake with attachment, for example. So can you please say more about that?
Can all akusala karma be, excuse me, can all akusala dharma be akusala karma?
Only as far as I know, only when it's through the body door and the body and then the speech.
So you mean just raising out this is kusala karma or akusala karma? Or it's only akusala citta?
Akusala citta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So only when there's the intention to harm.
What is karma?
The intention.
Yeah. What level? Mm-hmm. Arising with vipaka? Can it be? No.
No.
With kriya?
No.
Or with ordinary daily life? Eating, swallowing, brushing?
Mm-hmm. So only at the level of the precepts?
Doing good deeds. Speaking evil speech to hurt the others.
What about...
Is it a kusala karma when you harm yourself talking about, oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. See? Not a kusala karma.
And I was chatting to Zita about this. Actually, it came up in our discussion yesterday, like if one's just babbling on nonsense, just chattering about the flowers or the trees or the food or what one did on one's last trip. It's many cheetahs with loba, but it's not a kusala karma that can bring result. And she was saying sometimes she likes to joke or kid, but no intention to, if there's no intention to harm or hurt or deliberately deceive, it cannot bring result.
So that means that not all the actions or the speech can bring the result.
Otherwise, every time one opened one's mouth, it would be karma that would bring result. It's not like that at all.
But because there are so many vipaka that are very insignificant, just like seeing or hearing the wind very, very short moments and then completely gone, right? Can they not be produced by very minor karma?
All one can say is, like, for example, the moments of chattering about nonsense, the loba accumulates, that's all. The loba accumulates, the chetana accumulates until it's of the degree that it one speaks harshly or harmfully and it can bring result. But otherwise, it's just the accumulation of akusala at those moments.
And this is what you want to know about Pakkathupanisiyappajjaya. But you don't have to name it or call it anything.
And that's how it can support karma to bring its result.
There's also the teaching of 10
wholesome and unwholesome courses of action. I think these produce results. And talking about just one moment of seeing or hearing being too little, it's actually one karma produces many vipakas.
Like the karma that produced
rebirth. Who knows, countless moments of vipaka also produced by it in life.
So we learn to understand realities in order to become detached from taking it for I and things.
Yes.
How about your question from the discussion yesterday about virya and adipati and killing and citta adipati? You had several points there we were discussing.
I don't remember just one about example of when citta is adipati pachaya. And John's answer made sense when he said it's when those other three chetasikas are not adipati. And I guess when there's a certain intensity, maybe because of concentration or other mental factors. Achan, when we hear about the four adipati pachayas, when we hear about chanta, virya, and to some extent panya, we can understand theoretically, but I'm having a hard time understanding when the citta, an example perhaps of when the citta is adipati.
Can we simply say when it's weak, it cannot be adipati?
That's one. Mm-hmm. But the next question is, which of the four adipati?
What do you mean?
When it's not weak and when it is adipati.
Chanta is adipati. Viriya
is adipati.
Citta.
And
vimansa. And
panya. And when you explain about chanta, as in doing, like you say, you have no chanta for writing, but you have viriya, I can understand to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't understand. Can you give an example about when citta is adipati?
When it's not weak.
But that could, if it's not weak, is it not weak because of strong sanya and...
Because chanda, viriya and panya are not adipati. So it is that which is adipati.
But only one adipati at a time.
Yes. So when no chanda and viriya and panya are not adipati, citta is adipati.
Citta is adipati. And that would be because of other chetasikas or the citta itself?
Citta arises with chetasikas. When the others are not adipati, citta itself is adipati.
Citta itself.
When it's not weak.
And the strength of citta is determined by chetasikas?
Like how many cittas cannot be adipati, see? That's the meaning of what is not adipati.
Right. So at that moment, it's not just the question of chetasikas, it's the citta also.
We talk about with the citta, how can it be adipati?
Like vipaka is not adipati. Seeing is cannot be adipati.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only
associated with seven chetasikas, so it's conditioned. You can't separate it from the chetasikas at that moment.
What I understood is when citta is accompanied by at least two hetus, roots, then it is not weak. Is that correct?
So in that sense, we would say,
even bawanga cittas can be not weak then if it's accompanied by two hetus. Yeah.
That's why we have to know how many cittas can be
adipati. Like what about cittas with moha?
Moha-rooted cittas, can they be adipati if it's
I understood not
accompanied by...
Mm. Yeah.
So only Javana, except Sam.
Only Javana, Javana, and not the ones like just the Moha ones or
Hasitupada.
Any others besides the Moha
and the Hasitupada, or just those?
I don't think about it.
No.
This can be found in the book, if you like.
Yeah.
But what about now?
Yeah. Now countless adipati
cheetahs unknown.
Countless of Pajya unknown. Kun.
I mentioned the other day about the example given in the book on conditions about citta, adipati, when it's so habitual to some kind of kusala or akusala, it just arises and it's the leader in accomplishing that task. It's the
Vinchanda. Viriya and Panya are not the adipati.
Right.
But as John was also saying, habitual can mean also accumulated viriya, for example.
But they're not adipati.
So it's not just the question of a habitual.
Yeah, but I gave it some time when you, for example, someone who is not so used to speak, it takes viriya for that person to speak, right? Sometimes when we have something very important to speak, sometimes it's chanda, it's more predominant. And sometimes it's just not those things that are so apparent. That's the citta, because it's so habitual to that task that it seemed to be, it's how I understood it.
Do you know at the moment when it arises?
Precisely?
Precisely? Do you mean...
Not precisely.
A little more understanding, or what?
More than before reading and considering about that.
About moment when it appears.
Yes.
To know the adipati.
Before I read about the adipati,
yes.
I didn't know.
But now can you know whether it is adipati?
It seems to be, like some moment it's more apparent.
Speculation.
That's why I said not precisely.
Right or wrong, when it's speculation.
it's hard enough to know how citta is conditioned and it conditions the cetasika and how cetasika is conditioned citta. But and so it's even harder to know that it's conditioned a particular way, by atipati. So we're talking about adipati in the dark.
That is the example that are given in the books.
But it cannot be known by reading.
But it can, yes, but it can condition some more clarity into the daily life, right?
So it has to be now.
Yes.
Where there can be the understanding of adipati of whatever, chanda, of riya, or citta, or panya. Otherwise, everyone will follow the way, reading and trying to find out. Is that the point?
Because that's the way we study other subjects,
right?
Just thinking. And it's good to remind it that that's not how study of Dhamma takes place.
And that's what I'd mentioned.
I meant when I was referring to the study of the story of dharmas rather than the understanding. Like even when we start talking about different conditions or something, and I said it can easily be just delirious thinking, even though it sounds good because it's book knowledge and what citta arises with what. But if it's not relevant to the understanding of what appears now, then it's just the story of dharmas.
And it is conditioned to keep on doing like this, on and on.
That's dangerous when it comes to dharma, because if you go away with the impression that there's understanding, when there's not understanding and just thinking deliriously, then it's like a hindrance.
And that was what I mentioned last night.
When it's not like just if we're chattering about flowers and trees, if we have the idea that that is the way, it can be not just following lobha, but some wrong practice involved too. That's the harm.
Just knowing that now this moment is conditioned is very difficult. But if we try to pinpoint whether the this piece of this, what it is, whether patatupanisya pachya or this or that, see, one goes away, goes astray from this moment. And it's really just thinking about what about everything is conditioned, no matter it is citta, cittasika, rupa, and there can be the understanding of pachya when time comes from hearing and considering and understanding better about realities right now. For example, if there is no understanding of visible object as just that which is seen, and that which experiences is no one at all, if there is no foundation of understanding realities as they are, and keep on thinking about other things, it's impossible to understand pachya. But when time comes from knowing the nature of realities as that which experiences and that which appears, then it will develop by sankhara khanda for a long time to become detached from that which is seen and that which sees, because of understanding more about its conditioned. Because at moment of appearing, color or visible object is not the seeing. So by understanding more precise, one can see the difference between that which is seen and that which experiences. So there is the understanding that whenever they see, there must be that as object. Apachya, we don't have to name or call it, but it needs pachya for moment of seeing. And other citta and other cittasikas, little by little.
Very relevant, thank you, Ajahn. And on the other hand, one should not and cannot stop, you know,
by
things to happen.
So yeah. What condition? You'd like to have condition to think or condition to understand?
But the point is to know that it's just thinking, right?
Not I.
Like even now, we know
there are many different moments, many cheetahs when chanda is stronger or weaker or some panya or no panya, many different moments, but as soon as there's trying to find it or pinpoint it or work out what it is now, then it's wrong, the wrong way again. Better just understand different cheetahs arising by different conditions, but not to look for it or find it or try to work it out.
Because not only just from the book, but one realizes oneself, that is not the stage of understanding whatever appears as not self yet. But at moment of developing understanding, not by the self, but by conditions, there can be the beginning of understanding that which appears as only that, and then there less interest of it because of understanding that it's only a reality. No one at all. So one learns to understand Paccaya from realities at that very moment too, but not pinpoint whether this is the Paccipanna of that particular Paccaya and so on. But it learns to understand the Paccaya from whatever appears as Aramana Paccaya. You don't have to call it, but it has to be there whenever seeing is there arising. Learn Paccaya from experiences, little by little. Because life is very short. What is best to understand is this moment as myself. And we are not careless because we also study the teachings as much as we can understand, but not go far in details with the idea of self, try to find out. And that moment, it's not the moment of understanding realities.
Yes, I think it's very easy to think that just because it's the study of dhammas or the study of paccaya, that it's actually learning about dhammas as anatta, but at those moments of trying to pinpoint or get it or understand the visible object, it's actually the opposite. Is actually accumulating the idea of atta instead of understanding anatta, even though the subject matter is the Dhamma or Paccaya.
So while one comes to any Paccaya and gets some understanding, then no more, because reality is there. Because one knows that from hearing, considering, and understanding better and better about Paccaya, it can condition understanding of reality as no self, but not try and cling to the up-to-date book and so on.
Understand, hearing and understanding about Paccaya can be a condition for direct understanding.
For example, at this moment, we can understand that each moment is conditioned. That's enough. Because we have heard about Pakatu and so on, and it conditioned by being Sankarakanda, little by little, not all together. If one have reached that stage of being able to understand all the Paccaya at this moment, it's different, right? But since it's impossible, it's only in the book. And what the book, the understanding of what is there, is to support the understanding of understanding, seeing and hearing as not self, only that. In the beginning, see, and it depends on the individual's accumulation, how much Paccaya can know.
Say, for example, how would hearing about Andhya Mandhya Paccaya help to understand seeing now?
Citta is conditioned.
Right, in many ways.
Yes, and Andhya Mandhya means Chetasika. But we don't have to mention because at that moment Chetasika does not appear. But by understanding that whatever arises must be conditioned, see, that can be less attached to that which arises, to be anger or attachment or whatever, it's conditioned.
Conditioned in many ways.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For example, one of our favorites, without visible object arising, there could not be seeing. And at first it may not sound much because there's always visible object arising, we know, but the fact is that seeing requires visible object to arise first in order for there to be seeing consciousness. It's something we take for granted so much, and yet it's conditioned in that way.
That's why the bhikkhus just followed Buddha to hear more, but not to have attachment to have more understanding about that which does not appear.
can ask the question since the Bhikkhu was mentioned.
It's not about understanding now, but because we hear, and it's a question that came up yesterday. Achan, sampapalapa, what does it really mean? What kind of...
useless talk.
Useless talk.
Yeah.
Any subject, hey. Even about Dhamma?
Because it's akusla.
Because it's akusa.
And in order
through,
to know,
through speech.
Whenever there is moment of sampapalapa, it's akusla.
Okay.
It depends on conditions too, how much one can understand that.
Can we say any speech not directed towards understanding the present moment?
Anything which is useless.
So
when you talk about helping people, no matter in what way, is it useless? It is useful. So it's not sampapalapa.
So talking about
the Abhidhamma to someone you know does not understand
useless.
Or has no interest in, is also sampapalapa.
One may have kusala cheetahs and misjudge, so it's referring to akusala cheetahs. So that's the point. It's the nature of the cheetah, not the words that are spoken. Like one can talk about flowers with kusala cheetahs, one can talk about Dhamma with akusala cheetahs. So it's the nature of the cheetahs must be akusala sila, akusala cheetah, conditioning that speech at that moment.
It's conditioned
by attachment, such speech. Kilesa, or ignorance. Ignorance, attachment, aversion.
And what about someone who come to see you and you talk about karma and vipaka and pakatupanisya and so on? See? It's Dhamma, see? Abhidhamma. But is it time to talk about?
So back to the point you asked about how it relates to the understanding about pachaya. Relate to so not about this moment, but to me when I could know more about the pachaya, it makes more sense to understand so many things, like the person who is addicted to drugs, for example, who can say that the moment of craving for drug, it's a moment of akusala arising, but whether the moment of tasting the drug bodily or whatever, that it the moment of vipaka. And when I think about that, I think it's really difficult to understand. But when we consider also about, I read about pakatu upanisaya pachaya, it makes more sense.
Do you have to call it pakatu upanisaya? And tell the person that this is pakatu upanisaya?
No. That is not the point I wanted to make.
Because everything is pakatu upanisaya, but you don't have to mention.
Right. Just said that the pachaya makes more sense about things
if we associate with the evil one, say something like that.
Well, the question is, when we consider something making sense, is it same as pariyati?
What do you mean by making sense?
Sometimes it fits well in our reasoning about things. One
not understanding reality.
Sometimes we just think about the Dhamma and believe, oh, it's right, without reference to what's appearing now.
But they don't understand. They take it for something, people and things.
Right. Or something, yeah. Story. Usually it's connected in the context of some story.
So it depends on the listeners.
And like back to your question, for example, about Anyamanya Sahajata Pachya. No, as Ajahn said, no matter whether it's called anything or not, but like how does seeing experience visible object now, how can it see without having other associates or helpers like contact and ikagata at this moment to help it experience that object, and how could the contact or the concentration arise without citta to lead it to the object and the other factors. So actually at this moment there have to be many namas, many citta and many mental factors working together in order to experience visible object. So again, it's just to show how that moment of seeing occurs right now, or how the pasa contacts the object right now.
But we don't know it's just a
name. But but without pasa, we know there has to be the experiencing of the object. Without the contacting, no citta could experience any object.
In principle, as a theory, it makes sense.
Right, and it's about at this moment of seeing how seeing occurs, just to understand again that no one makes it happen, but there are these different conditions, and the pasa arising at this moment with it is a condition for seeing to experience that object, not anyone doing anything. So we talk about karma as a condition for seeing, and the association with the factors that arise with it is a condition for that seeing to occur.
So all that thinking helps to understand anatta? All that thinking helps to understand anatta?
The point of any consideration of even seeing now, or pasa or karma, is just to understand anatta. Because otherwise there's bound to be an idea of I see, or I see something. So it's all to understand that seeing now is just a dharma that arises by different conditions. And you asked about a particular one, so I just related it to this. This is how it's relevant to this very moment.
I'm thinking because anatta is a characteristic of a reality. That means knowing anatta is knowing a reality.
Yes.
One by one. As it appears.
Right, so knowing, seeing now, knowing that it arises is conditioned at this very moment. It's just a dharma, it's just an element. No one who sees, no one who experiences, and it's conditioned in different ways, including by the associated mental factors. Each one is just another element. No one who can do anything.
Yeah,
and this is what is...
Those moments, they're just conceptualized about, and
even seeing at this moment, it's the reality now, and one knows it must be there experiencing visible object. Nothing else can see visible object, and in the same way nothing else can contact visible object except pasa. Nothing else can focus on visible object, no one who can do anything except that mental factor, ikagata. And if there wasn't the life faculty, the jivitindriya arising with it, there couldn't be any experiencing of anything.
Let me be clear. I'm not questioning the, all that theory, and I'm not saying that it's not what it is. But now I want to know how, when we considering all that, how is that related to the understanding of anatta?
Because your question was about this particular condition, and so I'm saying what is the relevance at this very moment. So the relevance at this very moment is to understand that there are just these different dharmas, these different elements arising by different conditions, including the one you mentioned, anyamanya, right? And so I'm just pointing out that this is actually at this very moment of seeing different dharmas arising in these different ways we've been discussing, such as by karma and so on. at this moment, and that is the way that dhammas are understood as anatta, not anyone who sees, not anyone who experiences in any way whatsoever. Otherwise, it's even if we hear about visible object as just that reality which is seen, still it's the idea of I see, I focus on that object. So this is a way to get closer and closer to understand dhammas now as anatta, by understanding each one is conditioned now in various ways.
And that is pariyati.
And pariyati, because it's about
now, it's about seeing at this moment now.
I mean, now has fallen long way before, by the time we had all...
And when there's doubt and wondering, that's another reality, and that's also conditioned, and even at that moment, there can be... It can be understood, and at that moment of understanding, doubt is just a dhamma, not my doubt. That is pariyati too, when it's wise considering. So any dhamma, but it's about now.
I was going to say, if it's about now, there's recognition it's about now, then it's pariyati. One could understand this theoretically without any recognition that it's now, and then it's not pariyati.
Yeah, but by the time we verbalize, it's already gone. We're not talking about now anymore.
So that's just thinking and doubt. So that
is what is real then.
So the object, if it's doubt, that's pariyati.
If it's understood as reality.
I think it has to be something more than just understanding that it is about now. I think it has to be somehow related to now, I would say. John.
Related to seeing now.
Related to seeing now. Now is always the time one thinks of now, or the word gets out of your mouth. Now, the now that was being thought about is gone. But it's a recognition that it's occurring. It's not something that happens sometimes. It's happening always. And that there are never times when realities are not conditioned.
When we say it's related to now, I think we mean it's related to a presently arising reality.
Tanatanka, everything that is appearing right now, is it always conditioned by Pakatupa Nisihapatiya?
Name again. Why do you want to really know that, whether it is this word?
Lopa. Name again, yeah. Thank you, Tata. Yeah.
And I think that there can be many ways to talk about Dhamma without mentioning Dhamma at all. To help people to understand, to have right thinking, their own right thinking, not our own right thinking. For example, we can say, do you like this? If you don't see, do you like it?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
See, learn to understand what is there little by little, because only words cannot help people to understand that there are no people here and anytime, anywhere. There are only dhammas. But learn to understand whatever appears, have their own right thinking, their own right thinking, to consider more when they hear more about realities without mentioning even like Pattaya or so on. Much better for them. Otherwise, then we'll cling suddenly to that new word.
Everything which is arising is always
conditioned. No need to think about Pakatupa Nisihapatiya.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, because it already arised. Yeah. Thank you, Tanda-san.
I think it's a good
point, and like if there is a newcomer, one may be inclined just to tell them this is how it is or whatever, but it's not their own understanding, it's our understanding. So this is why in the foundation there was a newcomer who questioned step by step, because they need to consider and it needs to be their own. So if we just say, oh, well, this is what it is, then is not actually that person's understanding.
And we can continue like whether seeing is that which is seen, or what is the difference between the two? Learn to understand whatever appears. And then they can have words for different ones like we have, little by little, not all together at once. It's the like now, it's like reminder, see, that there's attachment to what? See, little by little.
Actually, we have to consider everything we hear very carefully. Like, for example, I had a discussion with a friend who mentioned that Ajahn always encourages her to do good deeds wherever possible, at any time, on any occasion. But we need to consider, what is good deed? Is it the act of taking people out for lunch or something like that? Or is it a particular kind of wholesome citta at this very moment? Like, is it good deed right now? Is it good deed for everyone right now? We can't tell by the outer appearance. We can't tell by the acts of lifting the microphone or serving the tea or opening the notebook. It depends just on kusala citta. So that's why, in fact, we're always reminded, do good deed with understanding. Because if it's not with understanding, nothing is known about good deed, because it's bound to be taken for my good deeds and I'm doing this or that. So whatever we study or whatever we consider has to come back to understanding this moment. Otherwise, nothing is known. Otherwise, it's just the same kind of conventional idea that people who've never heard the Buddha's teachings have. They know conventionally what is meant by good deeds, but this isn't what the Buddha meant by do good deeds at all.
And having understanding this, no need later to ask whether it is Pakatupanisya Pajaya.
Sometimes, as I think Kudmika was asking, we just want to hear more.
That's why we ask.
More about this word? And listening is also Pakatupanisya. See, we don't need to use the word at all. Whatever conditions, by its nature, is Pakatupanisya. Covers everything.
I think what one can say, Metta, is each citta in life can only arise because of many conditions, including this condition, conditioning each citta at each moment. So very wide, very broad.
Is visible object Pakatupanisya Pajaya?
Me Pakatupanisya Pajaya.
And
because Pakatupanisya Pajaya is very visible object. Can be Pakatupa.
Doubt?
It should be.
Yeah.
Even warmth, heat, cold can. What about the visible object?
Yes, yeah.
If it's experience.
Last time.
If there is experience.
I remember, last time we talked about heat, cool, it can, yeah. It's, everything is now, see? Is arising and falls away. It's about now.
And if you're wondering about visible object, means
we have not yet understood Pakatupanisya Pajaya. Because if heat can be, why not visible object? Anything can be.
Once it's there, it conditioned lobha, attachment. See, on and on, more and more.
A moment ago you picked up the little speaker and said, do you like this, when teaching somebody? So somebody might say, yes, so
Where would you take it from there?
Previous accumulation.
Previous. Why do you like this color and Sukhin like the yellow? Or
he could have selected.
When Achan asked that, I actually thought of one of my daughters, and you know, just thinking going on, she said yes, then it's hard to come out and say, well, that's just your accumulations. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, you can talk about anything, because liking is a dhamma, right? Then there's seeing, there's visible objects, so many things. But it has to relate to something which they can relate to, you know, be about what they can relate to in daily life, just like.
What about the first time I like it, second time I like more?
And third time I take it.
And can I decide
to stop liking it now? Can I make liking disappear? Or if I don't like it, can I make liking arise at that moment?
If it's not daily life, then it's not, it's hard to understand. I mean, it's not how understanding can develop.
Mm.
Because what I understand, dithuchukama, correcting the views, means that from our own experience in daily life, what the way we understand or misunderstand, that is corrected. Means we think this chair is real. So with more understanding, we still think in terms of chair and this and that, but slowly we understand the difference between what is real, what is not.